Welcome to today's edition of the Storefront Backtalk podcast series on security strategy and simplifying PCI. I'm Evan Schumann. It's been a long-time position among many in retail security that the only real way to protect retail payment data is, well, for the retailers, to never store it. That argument is that banks and card brands are in a much better position to protect that kind of sensitive financial information compared with the typical retailer. But for the moment, the card brands seem to have no interest in allowing that to happen. That leaves retailers exploring the next best option, some kind of card replacement approach, such as tokenization. In theory, if executed properly, that would also quickly take the data out of the merchant environment. But how to do it? Well, that gets complicated. To try and help us decomplicate card replacement strategies today, we have with us two people who spend much of their day thinking about card strategy. Today we have Mr. David Taylor, the founder of the PCI Knowledge Base, a former security analyst with Gartner, and most importantly, current PCI columnist with us right here at Storefront Backtalk. Joining Dave today is Mr. J.D. Oder, founder and chief technology officer for Shift4. Thank you, gentlemen, both for joining us today. So, Dave, let me start off with you. One of the key problems for IT executives when they look at these card replacement approaches, tokenization included, is that at a glance, they all seem to be making identical claims. It's only when the retailers take the time to really go deep and get the products into trials that the various critical differences become clear, and yet that's hardly a practical initial evaluation approach. How is a cautious retailer today supposed to weigh these options? I mean, what should they be looking for?
One, you can look at it from the standpoint of the business decision, meaning that it isn't necessarily the technologist's decision as to whether or not to keep the data. You know, they've got a lot of information that they're getting from the credit card transactions, et cetera. It's going throughout the business in many cases. It's not just stuck in one place. It's actually moving throughout the organization. Some of the parts of the organization need that data. They need something. They need to be able to understand what's going on in the marketplace, the transaction patterns, et cetera. So the whole idea of outsourcing this and getting rid of the data completely actually doesn't seem to work for most of the organizations that we've talked to as part of the PCI Knowledge Base. However, this idea of some substitution is something a lot of people are looking at. Here's what I would generally suggest when I talk to people about this. They need to look at the technical infrastructure of where have they got the data, what are they doing with the data, how's the data being used, and how's that data protected when it's being used, and make sure that that comparable level of protection, if not better, is being accorded the data when it's going elsewhere to some third party. So I've talked to a number of organizations that want to do it themselves. You know, they've got somebody in there that's pretty bright, a programmer, or what have you, and that person has figured out how to substitute number A for number B, and they go, wow, new problem, we'll just do it ourselves. And the problem is that for most organizations, it's not a matter of substituting one number for another. It's a matter of management and security. So the problems that a lot of organizations have, let's say key management when it comes to encryption, for example, if they can't solve it for a real card number, they probably can't solve it for a token number either. They need to look to somebody who understands the process of encryption, key management, and the management of that data. So whether it's inside your organization or outside your organization, you need to make sure it's secured and managed properly. So you need to look at that technical issue. Then, of course, you need to look at the business issue of, you know, in the case of the finance organization, they've got a lot to say in this. So you may have found a great technical solution, but you want to make sure that it will work with your business strategy, your relationship with your payment processor, your acquiring bank, et cetera. Make sure that whoever you're dealing with can work with the processor that you have and that you don't wind up having to make a costly business decision switching from one processor to another. And because that's not necessarily a decision that the technologist can make. So, again, business issues, technical issues, both have to be considered.
JD, what is your take in terms of what should a retailer debate? What should they be looking at when they're trying to evaluate these issues?
Well, I think I really do agree with David on many in many of what he said. I think one of the things you have to look at is it can't be something that is specifically done by the technology side of the house. One of the things that we see very often in our particular world and when we actually approach a customer is that it oftentimes seems to be the IT groups that have taken over for much of the financial infrastructure within an organization. And they've left the controller's office treasury out of the decision-making process. And because of that, they don't really realize all of the places where, specifically payment, cardholder data, and the like is actually being stored and how it is utilized. One of the things that we brought to market in 2005 when we invented tokenization is, you know, this idea of replacing this card data. And, you know, there's been a lot of folks, we didn't go for patent protection or anything like that at the time because it wasn't something that we felt was the right thing to do to the industry. One of the things we wanted to make sure of is that the industry had a chance to share in our passion for securing cardholder data. And you know, in saying that, the goal was is to try to, you know, take that volatile piece of data out of storage. I mean, if you remember what was happening around 2005 when this technology was first introduced, we had a lot of storage breaches. And here to this date, that's where the majority of the breaches are occurring, are still on the storage side of the equation. So one of the things that tokenization, of course, did for it was to take away that provocative data where in as many places it was as hiding. David's absolutely right in the sense that you have to identify from an organizational standpoint, an entire grassroots standpoint for your entire organization, where is this data being stored, and then ultimately utilize this tokenization or card replacement technology approach to actually securing your data. One of the things that I'd also like to look at from the standpoint is that you have to have an organization that handles, let's say, that's going to handle this tokenization-like aspect for you. What they definitely have to have is it has to be somebody that has a systemic approach. It has to have somebody that has both an application as well as just something that changes your card number. I mean, just having something that says A is going to now equal B isn't really the right approach. You also can't have a tokenization methodology, which is also where the token is a portion of the actual encryption key, because now you've got a situation where you've now spread the love, if you will, out into the industry, and oftentimes even on the receipt at the retail outlet, they're printing this quote-unquote token on these receipts, and it's a portion of their encryption keys, and they're releasing those to the world. So from our standpoint, again, and very much, I think, in alignment with what David's saying, what we have to be sure of is that the merchant understands, both the merchant and their ISVs, the vendor that's providing their point-of-sale system, they must understand how this technology is utilized, what it can do, what it cannot do, and try to ultimately come up with a solution that handles it.
Is there a practical issue having to deal with, I'm going to use legacy data in a different context, but the older card information that is already in the system in many instances improperly, that is in various pockets of the network, how do you deal with that? I mean, clearly, if you execute a good tokenization strategy going forward, you should be in a fairly good shape. But how do you deal with the remnants that are already there scattered throughout the network?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing, and going back to what David had said, you have to identify them. I mean, that's very important. We have to identify where these things are located. And as a firm, we take on a very, very consultative role. And I think any organization that you would work with, you being the merchant, if you will, they need to definitely have an organization that takes that approach to people's data. What we've done as an organization is we've taken on the role of saying, let's go ahead and tokenize your old data. So if you're going to be looking into solutions like this, make sure that they definitely allow for that, or they have some sort of way of helping you sanitizing that data. It's a very important part of the aspect, because again, when you deal with data of this sort, yes, it's always about what was left over. Until such time as we can get the card brands to fix how long their expiration dates are valid for, until we can get that fixed, which I don't see anytime soon happening, we got to worry about data that's been there for up to 12 years now. So it's something that we've got to be very, very cautious of and definitely take a very, very, very keen eye towards.
Dave and JD, thank you so very much for your time today. A fascinating discussion. And we'll be continuing this series in the next segment. For the Storefront Backtalk podcast series on security strategy and simplifying PCI, I'm Evan Schumann.